And this is how the events unfolded. The disciples were gathered, Simon Peter, Thomas, known as the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the two sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing," and the others said, "We will go with you." They got into the boat and pushed off from the shore. All night long they fished and they caught nothing. As the sun rose, Jesus stood on the beach. He called to them, "Have you caught anything?" And they said to him, "No, nothing." He said to them, "Cast your net to the right of the boat, and you will catch." So they dropped their net, and the net was so full of fish that they were unable to pull the net back into the boat. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Simon Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon heard that it was the Lord, he put clothes on and jumped into the water, while the other disciples brought the boat ashore, dragging the net full of fish. There on the beach was a charcoal fire, and on the fire, bread and a fish. No one asked Jesus, "Who are you?" For they knew who he was. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon returned to the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was filled with large fish, 153 of them. And the net was not torn. Jesus took the bread and he gave it to them to eat. And he took the fish and likewise gave it to them to eat. Now this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he had been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. I think very often as we read from the Gospels or the Acts of the Apostles, as we read the recounting of those events, we forget that those writings reflect a faith that is a couple of generations removed from those events. The Gospel according to John was written probably around the year 100. So that is 70 years away from the event described. And the Acts of the Apostles were probably written around the year 75 or 80. And so a good 40 to 45 years distant from the events. Now, clearly what is put down by these writers is true. However, they have distance from the events. You know, it would be as if somebody were to ask me to write an article about the Great Depression. I certainly have all kinds of testimony from parents and grandparents and many other people about the experiences of that depression. But I'd be writing the article from the perspective of 70 or 80 years distant from the event, and I would be seeing the event through the eyes of other witnesses and through the lens of a couple generations distant from the event. Well, that's true of the Scriptures. That's true of the Scriptures. Not all, but many of the events that the authors have chosen to put down, having to do with the appearance of Jesus after the resurrection, are situated in the context of a meal. Or if not a meal, the place in which a meal takes place. So for John, on the evening of the resurrection, the disciples are gathered in the upper room, the place of the Last Supper, when Jesus comes and appears to them. And a week later, once again, Jesus comes to them, and once again, they're gathered in the upper room, the place where they had gathered for the supper. In the Gospel according to Luke, on the evening of the resurrection, two disciples leave Jerusalem and they travel the road to the small town of Emmaus, and Jesus joins them on the road. And as they come into the town, it's getting dark, night is coming, and they ask Jesus to stay with them. And so he goes into the house and he sits at table with them and he takes the bread and he breaks the bread for them, and they recognize him. And in today's reading, Jesus is on the beach at the Sea of Galilee. And there is a charcoal fire, and there's bread and fish, and he feeds the disciples. Well, there were other examples of the appearance of Jesus to disciples, and many, many more appearances than are recorded in the Scriptures. But these are chosen by the authors for a particular reason. And I would suggest that part of that reason is that in hindsight, those men and women of faith, those early Christians, experienced the presence of the Lord as they gathered to celebrate the Eucharist. And so they used examples of Jesus having a meal with his disciples as a way of talking about his appearing to them. For men and women of faith, the table of the Lord is a place in which the risen Lord continues to be present to us. You know, when the church talks about the presence of the Lord in worship, the church says, first of all, the first place you find the risen Lord is in the gathered community, among all of us, as you and I, of people of faith, come together to pray and to worship and to stand at the table of the Lord. In that community of faith, the risen Lord is present. Jesus will say in the Scriptures, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. The second way in which the risen Lord is present is through the ministries of that community. That those who read the Word of God stand in the presence of the risen Lord. Those who invite all of us to come forward to receive the Eucharist, to proclaim the presence of Christ, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, that in their very ministry, the risen Lord is present. The third way the church says that the Lord is present is in the reading of the Word. Not just in the book, but in the proclaiming of the Word, in the announcing of the Word, in the voice of the reader, the risen Lord is present. that there is something dynamic about that. And finally, the risen Lord is present in the gift of the Eucharist, in the bread and in the wine become the body and blood of Christ, and in the action of receiving that Eucharist, in the action of coming forward, of making an act of faith, and of receiving that Eucharist. The risen Lord is present. Now, all of that presumes faith. All of that presumes that you and I gather together as people of faith. Doesn't mean that our faith is always strong. It doesn't mean that we don't have doubts. It doesn't mean that we don't struggle with faith, but that we are fundamentally people of faith. People who strive to see the world through the eyes of God, who strive to see reality through the words and the deeds of Jesus Christ. So as we gather today, 2,000 years distant from the event of Jesus' appearance to those disciples, the scriptures and our own experience tells us that he continues to be present, that he continues to stand among us, that he continues to feed us, that he continues to open the word to us, that he continues to call us to go forth, and that he continues to grace us as a people, as members of his body, of which he is the head.